Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name is Dusty Slay, and I'm your host, and I'm pumped to be here. What a great weekend I had. Just a great time. I got my new Jim Bob's t-shirt on. All these years, I've been doing Jim Bob's jokes. Somebody gave me, my friend Drew gave me a Chuck's Barbecue shirt that I've been wearing around. Chuck's Barbecue and Jim Bob's are owned by the same family in Opelika, Alabama. And this Jim Bob's actually is in LaGrange. My friend Curtis brought it to me. The original Jim Bob's that I worked at with Curtis and his brother Kerry and his wife Katie. And so many people, my friend Brent, my friend Jim Spain, my friend Richard Long, Adam Long, I mean, so many people, the Curtis and Kerry Wallace, we all worked at the Opelika Jim Bob's on First Avenue, and then it closed, so there's a Jim Bob's in Tigertown, and then Curtis has a Jim Bob's in LaGrange, Georgia, and I think Adam Long opened one in Ellic City. I don't know, but this one's from LaGrange, so, but I do finally have a Jim Bob's Chicken Finger shirt, which is where I used to work, and where I, you know, fried up chicken fingers. I've talked about it, but I never really get into the full details of what happened, but, you know, I used to work at Jim Bob's when I was a senior in high school, and also, when I was a senior in high school, I started to experiment with drugs, and I was really getting into some stuff, and I took acid for the first time. Now, I don't know if it was the first time, but I took it, and I stayed awake all night with my friends, and which is always what happened. I don't know what's going on with acid, but LSD, whatever you want to call it, but we stayed up all night. And then the next day, you know, you start to come down or crash or come back to reality, whatever. And now you've not slept. And I don't do well on no sleep. If I have no sleep, I start, there's two things that struggle for me. Food, no food and no sleep. Now, food I can do if I'm intentionally fasting. If I say, I'm fasting, something happens, and I don't crumble in that way. But no sleep, I really start to struggle. I start to slip into sadness, depression, and I want to cry. The only times I've ever really wanted to cry as an adult is when I've not had sleep. I didn't do it, but I remember at times being so hungover and having such little sleep. And I'm in the shower the next morning knowing I'm about to go to work and I want to cry in the shower. I don't do it, but those sorts of feelings and emotions come up in me where my body is saying, why are you doing this to me? And I go, I don't know. It's not me. It's Spectracide. It's they're making us do it. It's Stan. It's our boss, Stan. Spectracide doesn't really care. And if I showed up at the first store at 11 o'clock, it doesn't matter. The store doesn't know that that's the first store I've got to that day. They don't know. It doesn't make any difference. As long as I work late, nobody cares. But my boss, Stan, he was like, no, you must be there at 9 because I, you know, and, you know, he's like, I'm thinking he's at his hotel going, you got to get there at 8 because I got to hit a buffet at 9 so I can meet you at 10 so we have time to get lunch. He loved to eat. But the, so this was in high school. I'm working at Jim Bob's. I have done acid. I've stayed up all night. And then I have to go into Jim Bob's the next day. And I, you know, I didn't know this about myself at the time, that I would crumble at sleep exhaustion and doing acid. And I go into Jim Bob's that day, still out of my mind, really. I don't even know if Curtis knows this or Carrie or any of those. I don't know if they know this about me. But I went in and I was on the verge of depression and a small mental breakdown. And they were short-staffed. Someone had not been there earlier in the day. And so when I walked in, they were slammed. And they were like, hey, the dishwasher didn't show up today. So I look in the back and the sink is just piled up with dishes. And everybody looks run ragged and it looks awful. Now, as an adult, as a grown man with a decent work ethic, what I would do now is I would go, well, let's get it, you know, and I would just get it in gear. I would start knocking out dishes or helping cook whatever they need. I would jump right in there. But a 17-year-old on a head full of acid and no sleep had a little bit of a breakdown. And they go, you're going to have to wash dishes and make sauce and cook, and it's going to be a long day. And I didn't know what to do. So I said, okay, well, let me go ahead and take my break. And then I left and I never came back. And I'm pretty sure I did cry that day. I'm pretty sure later that day I put on a song, Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain by Willie Nelson, and I think it made me cry. But that's neither here nor there. But that's what happened. Was a wild time, and that's why I quit Jim Bob's. And I'm technically, I always say this, but I technically didn't quit. I just went on break, and I've not returned from break. And then that Jim Bob's closed, so I'm always on break until someone opens a Jim Bob's back in that location. I can't come off break. So I hope somebody will do that. You know what they did was they sold it from the family, but it remained Jim Bob's. And Jim Bob's, you know, was a Christian family, and they have Bible verses in the on the you know, in frames on the walls, and they're a good family. You know, you never know about people. I learned something about a friend of mine just last week. You never know about people, but as far as I know, they're a good family and they're good people. And when they sold Jim Bob's, they kept the name Jim Bob's. The restaurant kept the name, but they got rid of all the Bible verses and they got rid of the Christian vibe in there, and it went under. So, you know, don't take God out of Jim Bob's. That's what I've always said. But yeah, it was, I went home to Auburn. I did a show. Oh, let me just say, I like to do this now. This week I have, shows coming up, Binghamton, New York on Friday, Buffalo, New York on Saturday, and then next week I have been corrected, and I appreciate it. I did radio this morning, and the emails and the DMs that I received about my pronunciations helped me out a lot, but I'll be in Reading, Pennsylvania, Reading, PA, I'm told. That's how you sound cool, I'm told, if you say PA as opposed to Pennsylvania. But I've always been a sound out guy. I've always been a spell it out kind of guy. I remember one time I was asking this girl at work for her phone number, not to date, but because we were trying to exchange shifts. And I remember saying to her, I go, what's your telephone number? And she goes, why do you say it like that? Why do you not just say, what's your number? I go, I don't know. I just like to get specific with it, you know? You may have other numbers that I'm not interested in. I need your telephone number. But Reading, PA is where I'll be next Friday. And then Wilkes-Barre, PA is where I'll be. And for you, you know, that don't are not in with the cool lingo, PA is Pennsylvania. So I'll be in Wilkes-Barre, PA. So that's what I got for the rest of the month. And then on the 30th, I'll have a show at Zany's. So my monthly show at Zany's. And that show doesn't always sell out, right? Sometimes, you know, there'll be a few tickets. I've been doing the show for years and years and years. It doesn't always sell out. But if you do want to come, I wouldn't count on it not selling out. So if you want to come to that Zany show on September 30th, get yourself some tickets now. And then I just one more, because this is a club date that got added in. I was supposed to do a Field and Stream festival. Field and Stream, the old magazine, was getting revamped. And I think it was Eric Church and Morgan Wallen who was revamping it. And then, I don't know, I was part of the festival and then they canceled the festival. So in its place, I'm going to be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Funny Bone, which I'm excited about. I like to mix it up. I'm going to talk to my agent here in a little while. I may have to do this podcast in two parts. Once there's really no reason to tell you that, you probably won't know that that happened. But my agent is going to call me at some point, probably during this podcast. And because I'm still doing podcasts during nap time. Just now I don't have to worry about waking up my son through the wall. And we're going to talk about some club dates for next year. I like a little mix. I like doing the theaters, but I also like doing some clubs. Clubs are fun. I love a club. And so I'll be in the Hartford Funny Bone with Zach Townsend, who is from that area. So if you happen to listen to the podcast and somehow you didn't know that I do comedy with Zach, Zach will be with me at the Hartford Funny Bone. But he may be getting his own night. I'm pushing for it. He's pushing for it. I'm trying to get him his own night, like for so that he can headline Thursday or Sunday. But we'll see. I'm pumped. Things have been good. So I'd like to now talk about where I was. I was in Auburn, Alabama. I did a show at the Googe Theater. I've been saying the Gogue, it's G-O-G-U-E, and, but it was the Googe, and, I had a great time. I talked about, you know, being there on the, Nateland podcast, so I don't necessarily want to get into all that too much, but I had a really great time. I stayed at the Collegiate Hotel, downtown Auburn. The Googe gave me two nights. And I wanted to stay three because I had my family with me. And that's where I'm from, that area. So I wanted to spend time. I wanted to go see my dad and spend some time with my mom. And I wanted to go to my cousin's wedding. My cousin Jaden got married, and I missed his wedding. It's hard to do anything when I'm in Alabama because, it's just... You know, my parents are divorced, so it's like, I try to go see, each of them, and I don't have a lot of time. So I spent Friday with my dad, and then, so I had two nights at the Collegiate, and then I bought an extra night, which was pretty pricey. It's a nice hotel, but it was pretty pricey. But they were very nice to me. I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have bought it if I had to pay all three nights, so I appreciate them. But I try to get an Airbnb. I try to get an Airbnb at the place I always stay in Opelika, the place I stayed last time in Opelika. But the last time I stayed is in the middle of the summer. I paid $600 for three nights, right? For a whole house. I paid small house, but I paid $600 for three nights. And this time, because there was a home game in Auburn, it was almost $900 for two nights. And I'm just like, come on. Guy, I mean, we're in Opelika. We're not in Auburn here. And I even reached out to them about it, and they go, yeah, it's our highest demand weekend, so we charge more. But I drove by. I don't know for sure, but I drove by because it was on the same street as my mom's house, and it didn't appear as though anybody was staying there. So that made me feel good because I said to them, I said, well, I would rent the place from you, but I can't rent it at this price. But it all worked out. But I was downtown Auburn, so I didn't really want to leave on Saturday because, I didn't want to get caught in game day traffic. But on Thursday night, the show was almost sold out. It was almost sold out, not quite sold out, Although some friends of mine did say to me, they go, oh, I tried to get tickets, but it was sold out. And, you know, I just, if they believed it was sold out, I wanted them to continue to believe it was sold out. I didn't check the website to see if there were tickets available, but I'm pretty sure there were some. They might have been fishing for free tickets. That's possible, but I just kind of wanted them to just believe that the show was sold out because it's my hometown. Over the years, I did a show at the bottling company in Opelika, the event center in Opelika, which was a good show. That was probably the best one I'd ever done in the area, and it was early on in comedy for me, so it was a nice one, and it was with me and my buddies. And then the next time around, I did the event center again, but I did the small room, and it was not a good show. It had nothing to do with the event center. It's totally on me. And then the next time I did the O-Town Ice Cream. My friend Angela Vanofro owns that club. I think she has a different last name, but I can't think of it right now. But maiden name Vanofro. And she owned O-Town Ice Cream downtown. That was a fun show. I did that show with Evan Burke and Jordan Jensen, which cracks me up. I think Jordan Jensen, this podcast will be out Thursday. Today's Tuesday. As of today, Jordan has a Netflix special that comes out. So I just think it's fun that me and Jordan were bouncing around, the country, me and Evan and Jordan doing shows. And that was a good show. But no offense to Angela, but as far as a comedy show goes, I was at an ice cream shop, right? And then the next time around, I did a show there. I did a show at what was called Crown of Comedy, a comedy club, but not a very good club. I was happy to be there, and it was a good show. My cousin Charlotte got to see me, and she passed away a couple of years ago. So she might have never got to see me do comedy if she didn't come to that. So I was happy that worked out that way. But it was not a great club. So I finally got to do a good theater for my hometown crowd, which really made me happy. It was like, because it's always like when the show's not good, you go, and then it's in a bad venue, you go, hey guys, this is not how they normally go. They normally go really well. I'm actually doing this at a high professional level. Now, of course, I've had Netflix come out, so now they know. But for a while there, it was like, oh, this is what you do, huh? And I'm like, no, not like this. Normally it goes very good. So this time it felt good to be at a nice theater, almost brand new theater. I did a big meet and greet. I got to see a lot of people. My fourth grade teacher was there, Miss Martin, and I recognized Miss Martin, and I could say her name, and I think that made her feel good. My PE coach, Mr. Wilson, was there, my middle school PE coach. It was just great. I saw, several people that I went to high school with. You know, I saw Lindsay Savage and Andrea Mitchell. And I mean, I went, not just high school with them. I went through all the grades with them. And so that's really cool. I mean, we really grew up together. James Decker was there, probably my oldest childhood friend, really. And it was great. I had a great time. And I loved it. And then I spent the next day, I went to my dad's house in Lafayette, and we hung out, and then, went around, looked at various things. We went down to the Tallapoosa River. We had a cup. My dad has a Polaris is what we've always called it, but that's the name brand of it. It's a side-by-side. And his neighbor let him borrow their side-by-side. So, me and my dad and stepmom and wife and kids all took a ride on the side-by-sides down to the river, down to the Tallapoosa River, and all around. We just rode some dirt roads and stuff like that. I don't really think the kids quite appreciate it. I used to ride bikes and then four-wheelers on those dirt roads. Went down by Ripville, really great. Ripville was a creek with a rock slide that was a slippery rock that you could slide down. And it really was like a water park, in a sense, for us just out in the country, we just ride our four-wheelers down there and get in the creek and slide down this thing into a pool. It was really great. And then there was a rope that you would climb back up to the top. And, you know, it was incredible. And once there was a snake wrapped around the rope. I slid down first and went over to the rope, and there was a snake wrapped around the rope. And my friend threw a rock at the snake, and then the snake swam off. And then we, you know, just swam there all day. Just fearless about it. I don't think I would do it. I don't even know if I would get in Ripville now because I'd be afraid of snakes. The fear has really crept into me. I've lost some of my country edge, but saw that. It was fun to just ride around, cruise, see those things. And then we went to Monte Albán 3, which is the Mexican restaurant there in town. And that was fun. I saw my cousin, Hallie, and she's a cheerleader at Chambers Academy. So we took a picture. I took a picture with a few cheerleaders and the owner of Monte Albán. So I expect that my picture will be on the wall soon in there. So that'll be fun. I'll have my picture on the wall in Monte Albán 3 there in Lafayette, Alabama. And it was good. I had some fajitas, some steak fajitas. Very good. You know how it goes. And then Saturday, I spent time with my mom and my kids' cousins. I guess they're my cousins, too, or my nephews or nieces. Somehow we're related. And it was really fun. We hung out at my mom's house with all of them. And it's fun to let the kids play. And then I just hung out on campus. Me and Daisy went for a walk in Auburn. We just walked around. I bought a hat. We all bought some merch, bought a bunch of Auburn merch. And I just want to say, I mean, growing up in Opelika, which is, across the tracks, you might say, even though Opelika is very nice. But, you know, Auburn is super nice. They got a lot of money over there, and it's just super nice. And I've always felt like I've had a little bit of a complex about Auburn. I always felt like every time I go to Auburn, everybody thinks they're better than me. And I just, I don't feel good a lot of times when I'm in Auburn. But this time, I felt good. I felt really good. I bought a nice Auburn hat. I couldn't find it to wear on the podcast. I bought a nice corduroy old logo Auburn hat. That was really good. And me and Daisy walked around Auburn. And we had a great time. The hotel gave us a little pom-pom. And Daisy just shook her little pom-pom. We got a little cheerleading outfit. And we walked around Auburn. The people were so friendly. The vibe was so good. I ran into a lot of people that knew who I was. I ran into some people that I personally knew, but also people that were just fans, and everybody was nice. And then later that night, I didn't go to the game, but later that night, I was hanging out with my friend Kenny. We were out on a picnic table just off the street a little bit having cigars, and just people were walking by. And a lot of people came up and took pictures with me, but other people, they were just fans of Auburn. And I just was like, it's such a great culture here. Everybody's so nice. Everybody's so friendly. And I just was like, I've always kind of leaned more to being an Alabama fan, and I think some of it is because of the way, I just kind of felt about Auburn. I felt like, but me feeling some sort of complex when I'm in Auburn made me feel weird about it. But I feel like the trip made me an Auburn fan. I just was like, my daughter, unprompted, was saying War Eagle. I didn't ask her to say War Eagle. She was just saying it. I said, I want to get a picture of you guys. And she goes, War Eagle. And I was like, whoa, she's just doing this. And, sometimes I would take a picture and she would say it. And I would be like, let me do a video. And then I would ask her to say it again. But she would always say it on her own. She just kept saying War Eagle, and she was really into it. And I don't know. I mean, I'm still, no matter what, going to be able to watch Alabama and Auburn and cheer for them both. I've always done that. And what I do is, people hate this, but what I do is I cheer for both Alabama and Auburn. And then when they meet each other, I pull for whichever team has a chance to go to the national title. That's how I've always done it. That's how I feel about it. And people act like that that's bandwagon. But I'm not hitching my horse to any of these wagons. I'm not saying that if Auburn wins a national title that somehow I've accomplished something. I don't feel like if Alabama wins that I've done something. It doesn't affect me one way or another. I will say this. Auburn lost the national championship to Florida State in, I don't know. I don't remember what year it is, but it still devastates me. It still bothers me because I was watching the game, and I don't know about play calling, but it just felt like they were calling plays in a way all game, and then the last drive, it felt like they weren't calling plays that way again. It's like they gave it away, and I'm not a Jameis Winston fan. So that's where I'm at with it. That's where I'm at. And that's all. I know that was a lot of catch up. That was like, dang, 20 minutes of what I've been up to this weekend. And then I went, and I'm not done, although. I went to Chattanooga and did a show. Chattanooga, the Comedy Catch, had their 40th anniversary. And I like that club. They've always been very nice to me. I like the family. And it's one of those clubs. There's only a few of them. And, you know, it's not anyone's fault or whatever. But there's a few clubs that worked me from feature to headliner without agents or anything. I didn't have any of that, and they worked me from feature to headliner. And that the Comedy Catch did that. Zany's here in Nashville did that. Crackers in Indianapolis. Side Splitters in Tampa, Florida. And there may be others, but those I can think of specifically. So I'll always be grateful to them. And then the Funny Business organization. They've always been very, very great to me. So I was happy to be a part of that show. And it was fun. You know, it's fun to be invited to a thing like that. And then last night, my episode of Kill Tony aired. Again, this I'm filming this on a Tuesday, comes out on a Thursday. Monday, my episode of Kill Tony came out. I've been surprised by how much reaction I have not gotten from that. But I knew when I filmed it that we did not do anything revolutionary. I did not, you know, do anything that was so huge on the show that it would be like, oh, people are like, we got to follow this guy. But I did think it was a good episode. And that is really what I'm all about. That's an ensemble project where we're all coming together to make a good show. And I felt like we made a good episode. I do think a big issue is that the week before was a huge episode. Rob Schneider and Donnell Rollins, which I did watch a lot of that, and it was very funny. So, and ours was a much tamer version, but I am happy with it. I mainly, when I do things now, I'm very happy with my career and I'm very happy with how things are going. So when I do something like that, I do hope to gain followers. I do hope to, you know, pick up some new fans, but I mainly just don't want to embarrass myself. I mainly don't want to leave that going. Jeez. Like, I don't want to do anything like the Burt Kreischer Something's Burning podcast that I did. I never want to do that sort of thing again, where I'm just like, I don't even know why I'm talking about it, but I want it buried so that no one ever sees it. And that's not what my Kill Tony episode was. I feel good about it. I thought I got some good lines in. I thought I contributed and didn't hurt anyone's feelings. And that's all I want. That's what I want out of life, really, is just to, my entire comedy career has been small, incremental advances, you know, a little bit here and there. People go, man, your career really took off after the Netflix Working Man, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it did improve. I was able to go from clubs to theaters because of that, but it wasn't such a leap. You know, it's all been little things, bit by bit by bit. You know, I'm going to create a poster because, you know, this is what used to happen. When I was coming up in comedy, we all wanted to create posters. We were always doing posters for our shows. And then we would put our credits on there because we were trying anything we could to get people to come to our show. But now I'm at a level where I feel like I don't really need the poster, but now I have credits. So I want to do a poster with all the credits. I don't know if it's cool or not. I don't even know if that's cool or not. I don't know what's cool. I don't know what gets people big followings on social media. Again, mine has been a slow increase. You know, it's like my video. So, like, I feel like my, you can see, which I wish I had never discovered, but you can find out how many people follow you based off a video on Instagram. And we had the spiders video, me and my wife, where we got like, I think we got 1.4 million views on it. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then I went in and checked how many people followed me. And I was like, wow, not very many people. But it's okay. It is okay. Life is good. You know what I mean? I had two good weeks back to back, Biloxi and Auburn. And I'm really floating because of it. I feel good. That Auburn show and that Biloxi show, I think they're, you know, they're really in my part of the country. My, it felt like, you know, my people. And I just, you know, I got to see a lot of people I grew up with. And I don't know, it just makes me happy. You know what I mean? It's just good stuff. And I know, here we are. I've spent 30 minutes talking about things that only people that regularly listen to this podcast would care about. If they even did. All right, here's a dog thing. Here's another anti-dog thing. I had dog dreams this weekend. I actually had a dream. I don't know if you guys care about dreams. Probably not. But I had a dream that I'm just going to summarize it. But some people, I woke up at my old trailer that I used to live in when I was, you know, 18. And I was confused about how I got there. My car was parked partly on the porch, making it seem as though I drove home drunk. You know, this could have been a video that I watched, but it was a dream. And then there were people there with dogs. There were three dogs, and the dogs kept really reacting weird to me, and I was afraid of the dogs. And so much so that I ended up going outside, but by the time I went outside, it was no longer my trailer anymore. It was some place that I didn't know where I was at, and I left my phone, wallet, and keys. Those are the three things I carry around in my pockets all the time, my phone, wallet, and keys. I left all three of those inside, so I didn't have any money. I didn't have a car there, and I couldn't call an Uber because I didn't have my phone. So I was waiting on a ride when two guys that I knew in the dream but not in real life that worked at Spectracide were sitting outside, and they were doing very well, those guys. And then later, other people show up with more dogs, and now we're just kind of at a party, and these dogs were Rottweilers, and all the dogs were acting weird towards me, and eventually one of the dogs bit me on the hand. It didn't hurt. I didn't remember in the dream being, hurt by my hand. There was no blood, but I did have to find the owner of the dog to get the dog to let go of my hand. So I don't know what that means. If you're a dream interpreter, if you're, Joseph from the Bible, tell me what that means. I also have had this song by, a guy named M. Ward. I used to listen to M. Ward when I lived in Charleston. I found him, his album at a record store, 52.5 or something. It was in Charleston downtown. I used to go there a lot. And it was M. Ward, and then the album was Transfiguration of Vincent. And the song on there was called Get to the Table. And I remember in this song he said, "The Lord of Lords laid out a feast. He said, listen to me, boys, this will be the last one of these, so you better get to the table. Get to the table on time. You better make up your mind if you want to get to the table on time." And that's the verse that's been in my head for about 2 weeks. On and off, it will continue to come to me. And I just think it's weird. I wanted to talk about it because I don't know if that's a message to me or a message that I should just share. But it feels like it's like, you know, a Jesus message being like, you know, because at the time I was a little offended by it. I never like when musicians make these kind of biblical references, especially if I don't feel like they're actually, you know, Christians. But I just feel like the fact that it's been playing in my head and I've not been listening to it, it's like it's a message saying you better make up your mind if you want to get to the table. And I want to get to the table. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the table. So there's that. That's exciting. I'm in constant talks with people about once saved, always saved stuff. But I just think we all take it a little light. We all take the I'm saved and I'm going to heaven sort of thing a little light. And I just think we should take it serious. That's all I'm saying. And I think sometimes people are more Christian than others. I don't think you can be more Christian than others, but I think you understand what I mean by that. And I think that they think, well, I'm Christian and this is my walk, so this must be everyone's walk. And if you're saved, then you're always saved. And I'm saying, I just think people's walks are different. So there are some people out there, maybe myself included, I don't know, that need to make up their mind if they want to get to the table on time, you know? And my TikTok, I opened TikTok today and it was all about the end of the world. But a lot of people think the end of the world is near. And I just feel like it's got to get a lot worse. They talk about it like it's so bad now. I saw a video and they were like, it's never been this bad since the days of Noah. And I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I live in Tennessee, but things are still pretty good around here. I'm not saying life is good for everybody. I'm not saying I feel like the country is going in a good direction. I'm not saying I think the world is going in a good direction. But I think everything's still pretty good right now. I'm still able to sit in a room and do a podcast. I'm still able to do comedy for a living. There's people that were still at a football game. My family, a lot of my family that doesn't have a lot of money is still gathering together and eating and laughing and having a good time. So I just don't think it's as bad as it's going to get. But I don't know. I don't know when. But I just, I think we got to make up our mind if we want to get to the table on time. You know what I mean? But So the dog thing I was talking about. So I'm in Chattanooga. I'm hanging out before the show. There's a couple of little inflated balls there. And then there's a third one that's been deflated. And there's a couple of little, you know, bouncy balls or whatever, you know, soccer size balls, but like a volleyball or, a four square ball. And my kids are playing with them. And then a guy comes out with his dog. And then the dog bites the ball and pops it. And the guy is just like, it's like, he's like, almost has this look like, oh, dogs will be dogs. And then there's dog poop out there on the AstroTurf. It's not real grass. And I'm just like, it's like the dog culture is out of control. It's like we've just become way too accepting of dogs. People don't want to tolerate kids now, but man, they act like dogs are kids. And they're just like, the dogs are just pooping everywhere and they're popping the ball. My kids were having fun with the balls. And then the dog popped one of the balls. So now my kids had to share a ball. And I'm not saying that the dog shouldn't be allowed to play with the ball, but you just let the dog pop the ball, guy. And it was just annoying to me. I get real annoyed about dog culture. And people take it as though I don't like dogs and that I'm mad at everybody that has a dog as a pet and that I don't think people should own dogs as pets. It's none of those things. I actually did a video. I'll try to share it into this podcast. But I did a video where I was riding on the side-by-side with my dad, and there was two dogs on the side-by-side with us. And I said, this is proof that I don't hate dogs. I don't hate them. But my dad has, you know, outdoor dogs. He has two outdoor dogs that he lets come in the house at night. But they live outside during the day. And then he has cats that he lets in at night. I am anti-cat. I don't hate them. I don't want them to be abused, but I'm pretty anti-cat. I think cats really affect our breathing. And I don't think people know it, but I think people will go, oh, I got sinus problems. You know, I just have sinus problems. But they have indoor animals. And I'm thinking, well, maybe if you didn't have the indoor animals, maybe you wouldn't have the sinus problem. And I'm not saying that you wouldn't. I'm saying maybe you wouldn't if you didn't have the inside animal. And I do think we're going to reach a point in society where we come to a head about dogs. I do think at some point that it's there's going to be a breaking point where we do decide that dog, because it continues all the time, right? It was like, I just feel like there were no dogs on planes, and then suddenly you could take your dog and put it in a crate and put it under the plane, which I think is cruel. I don't support that at all, but there was that. And then you could put your dog in a little carry-on bag and bring it with you. And then people just outright have their dogs on a leash on a plane. So I feel like, you know, we're just going to eventually reach a point where we go, all right, we got to scale the dog stuff back. And I it's just everywhere. It's just everywhere. I pulled into a Buc-ee's and they're just people and their dogs are barking at each other. And I, in my neighborhood, there was like a lady, she could barely hold her dog as it was trying to tear into another dog. And someone emailed me, I talked about pit bulls on the last one. They emailed me and they said, I have two pit bulls and they're the sweetest dogs. And they said, but once a year they get into a fight with each other and it's really hard to get them off of each other. They're wild dogs. They're all wild. The dogs that killed my brother-in-law's stepmom were Cane Corso dogs, which are unbelievable. I don't know why. I talked about that on stage last night, and I don't know why. It wasn't funny, and it didn't go well. But I just got into it. But I do think we reach a point where, because there are these little dogs. People do have these little dogs that are pretty useless dogs, but you know, they're almost like little stuffed animals. And I think a lot of that is okay. A lot of them are, what do they call it, hypoallergenic, where they don't shed and don't mess with their allergies. But I don't support a lot of indoor animals, but I don't have to support it, right? Like people, when they get animals for the inside, they don't go, I wonder if Dusty supports this. You know, they just do what they want to do. And I don't have to support it unless it's in my own house. But I did point this out to my family. I was at my mom's house and all the family was there. The family that my brother-in-law, my sister, my nephew, his wife, their kid, my niece, her kids, all the people that used to hang out there back in the day all the time after I left to go to Charleston, they all lived in that house together. And they had three dogs. And it was just a mess. And I pointed out to them, I go, isn't it? There were no dogs there this time. I go, isn't it so nice that there are no dogs in here? And they're all pro-dog people. They all own dogs back at their own houses now. But they were like, yeah, it is nice. It is nice. And even my nephew was like, yeah, once our dogs die, we're not getting any more. And it just like, and everybody has to board the dogs and there's all these businesses and there's dog shots and dog vitamins and dog bakeries and there's a whole business around it. Dogs have anxiety now. And I just think one day we're going to come to a place where we're going to go, oh, they're animals and we should not abuse them, but they're not people. That's where I think we'll get to. Okay, here, let's talk about a serious, dark subject for a second. I debated on whether I would talk about it, but I do want to talk about it. Oh, I just took my microphone off. Okay, well, maybe that's a sign not to talk about it. All right, here we go. Oh, jeez. I just took my microphone. I don't even know how I did that. Oh, there we go. Okay. All right. No, I'm talking about it. There's something came out this week. If you want to look it up on your own. I'm not going to get too into the details about it, but I don't know what I would say the term would be for, if this is my friend or not. I will say, this guy was my friend, and I don't know exactly what to say about it. Me and a couple of other people have talked about it, and we said thinking about him right now is like thinking about your friend dying. And this I'm talking about is John Reap, okay? John Reap, when I first started comedy, I remember watching his Comedy Central Presents. I thought he was so funny. And then when I later moved to Nashville, I got to work with him at Zany's. We became friends. I got to work with him at Crackers in Indianapolis. And then I got to work with him again in Orlando at the Improv. And we became friends. I didn't spend any time with him really outside of comedy, but we did Nashville Squares together. I got a picture. Me and him and Gary Busey are in a picture together. I did a show with Chris Killian one time in Hickory, and he came and did a show. I hung out with him once at Reno Collier's house after the New Year's Day. Me and my wife went to Reno's house, and John came there and hung out. And so I'd known him for 10 years. I've done various Nateland podcasts with him. I've done his podcast a couple of times, always, you know, over the internet. I was going to let, he was scheduled to do a show in McMinnville, and I had offered my cabin to him to stay at while he's there. And that show had not happened yet. But, you know, if you don't know what John Reap's in trouble for, just give that a Google. I'm not going to get into those details. But it's very dark, and it is disturbing and devastating. I really don't know what to say. I don't know exactly what happened. I know what the charges are. I've looked up what the charges are. And, you know, I had somebody working with me I talked to last night about this, and they said he had a guy opening for him recently who was a, like, preacher or youth minister, and he wanted him there because he wanted someone that would pray backstage with him before shows, which makes me think, you know, he was battling something and was trying to overcome it. And I like to think that's at least the case. I mean, I figured he had an alcohol problem. He was a heavy partier. When I first worked with him at Zany's, it felt like he had a woman backstage. It could have been his girlfriend, but it seemed like she was a prostitute, at very least a stripper. And she was, you know, older. She was a grown lady. Potentially had a coke problem. I had heard that about him. But none of that. And I read all these comments from other comics on the internet, and, you know, he's fair game based on what he's been arrested for. He's fair game now. But the way they were talking, I was seeing stuff like, oh, I work with this guy. I always knew he was a creep. I saw one girl, she commented that, you know, he, you know, tried to kiss me a couple of times after shows. So I always knew he was a creep. And, you know, I'll give people whatever benefit of the doubt, right? I'm not saying that people don't do inappropriate things. If you hang out late at night and get really drunk and do coke, there's likely inappropriate things are going to happen. And someone's action could be deemed creepy depending on how attracted to them you are or aren't, right? But the way they're acting is like, they're like, I always knew, I'm just going to say, I always knew he was a pedophile, right? They're like, and I don't know if that's what is actually being accused, but that's what people are kind of saying. And I'm like, that's a giant leap. You can say someone's been creepy and not say you knew that about him. And that's what I'll say is it's like the people that I talked to that knew him the best, that considered him friends, were like, that never even crossed my mind. And did I think that it would be likely that he would go off and do some coke and get a prostitute? Yeah, maybe. That wouldn't have been shocking to me. If you'd told me he did that after every show, I would not have been shocked by it. But what he's being charged with is shocking to me and very sad. Very sad for many reasons. Very sad because based on what I'm seeing is it's just viewing this content, which is, you know, bad enough. and very sick, but it makes me sad for all parties involved. And I don't necessarily know why I'm talking about it, but I don't know. I guess it's just, I've never had this with a friend before, and it bothers me. I've thought about it a lot. I continue to think about it, and it bothers me. It's like, it's a devastating thing because, you know, if something bad happens to a friend of mine, I can call them and I can talk to them about it. And I can go, hey, I'm sorry this is happening to you. But when this happens, what do you even do? How do you approach it? And I wouldn't talk about it publicly if it wasn't already out publicly. And it's just, I don't know, people have been messaging me about it, and I'm just like, man, it is so wild. And I say all that to say, you know, I think people accuse me of being a little paranoid, and they accuse me of helicopter parenting. And I think sometimes my own parents think that I'm, too paranoid about my kids and watching my kids too closely, and I'm not letting, and I'm like, this is further validation of what I've been talking about, because I would have let him hang around with my kids, you know? And now I'm just like, man, I don't trust anyone around my kids. I do not trust anyone around them. Someone offered to get me a babysitter. They knew my wife would be in town, and they offered to get me a babysitter so she could come to the show. And I'm like, there is not a chance. I don't know. School is approaching for my daughter, and I really want to homeschool. I don't know what to do. I don't think I'm fit to homeschool. I don't know that Hannah wants to homeschool. I don't know what to do. But I just don't trust anyone around my kids at all. And it's wild. And this is further confirmation to me, because this person is someone I would have considered a friend, and I would have let them around my kids. And it freaks me out. You know what I mean? I think this is a bit of a downer of a topic, but, you know, we're having a good time. I just, everything can't be rainbows and sunshine, but I did have other things I wanted to talk about, and this is, I don't even know if people are still watching at this point, but, or listening. Okay, here we go. Let's change it up. But I did want to say that. I actually don't feel weird or bad about talking about it. I did want to say it because, you know, there was a post made about it in the Nateland Facebook group. And I think we didn't, when we did the podcast, we didn't talk about not talking about it. The three of us that did the podcast on Wednesday, me, Aaron, and Brian, we've all talked about it. But we didn't talk about not talking about it on the podcast. We just didn't do it. And I just feel like people got to wonder, you know, and they made a post in the group about how, you know, it's going to be addressed, and how the episodes with John had been taken down, which is fair. But I did just want to talk about it. I wanted to, you know, there's no place to stand on it because everyone's against it. No one is, it's just like, it's just one of those things where it's like, this person's been accused and arrested for, but you never know actually what went on. But based on what I've seen, it seems like it was happening, right? I don't know, but you know, I will, you know, pray for him and that whole situation. So, okay. And, all right. So I want to talk about this. We're going to change it up a bit. I listened to a song. I just saw on YouTube. It was Chris Stapleton and Morgan Wallen. And if you've listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know how I feel about Morgan Wallen. I don't like his music. And, so this song came up. It's called, let's see. It's like Chris Stapleton, Morgan Wallen. They're talking about the devil, and what is it called? Devil in the Night. And Chris Stapleton is an incredible musician. He's got an incredible voice, and I do love him. He's got a lot of songs that I don't like, but I do love Chris Stapleton. And I dislike Morgan Wallen so much that it just brought this song down. It's just such a nothing song, Devil in the Night. It's just, it's like, it feels like it's trying to be deep. It feels like it's trying to be like, oh yeah, I got a lot of demons. And it's just like, it's just not good. It's just like, nobody cares, right? I mean, obviously people care. I mean, what has it got? Well, I don't know. I don't know. It's just not good. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I don't want to do it now because I wanted to do a longer talk on it, but sometimes I'll get asked, you know, what do I consider country music? Because so much music that's considered country is not really that country, right? Like, even like Marty Robbins, I was listening to some Marty Robbins. Marty Robbins has some very country stuff, but not everything by Marty Robbins is country music. I mean, you know, this guy just has an incredible voice and he did a range of music. I think it has to do with the instruments. And then I go back and I listen to a lot of 90s country, a lot of music that I consider country music. And I go, if this came out now, would I consider it country music? Like, there's a band called Blackhawk that I really liked, and they were out in the 90s, and I really liked Blackhawk, and they were considered country. And I don't know if I consider them country music. They weren't really doing anything that makes them country. I think it has to do with the instruments. It has to do with, I don't think you have to have a Southern accent because, you know, who is it? Merle Haggard doesn't have a Southern accent. But I do think the instruments you need, it's not like steel guitar, fiddle. I mean, those are the obvious ones. That doesn't have to be present in everything. Merle Haggard does a lot of like horned instruments in his songs. Johnny Cash does some horned instruments, but it's a feeling, it's a pacing. And I just think, you know, a country song when you hear it. Kris Kristofferson has the, if it sounds country, it's a country song. And I just think it has to sound country. Like, I remember, you know, like an Avett Brothers album I was listening to. I really like the Avett Brothers. And I had heard them on Outlaw Country on the radio. And so I was showing my friend, I go, this is some good country music right here. And he listened, he goes, yeah, but this is not really country. And I was like, well, of course it's country. I heard it first on a country station. But then I'm like, is it really country? Is it more like Americana type music? Is it rock? Is it soft rock? It's like, and I'm like, at the time, I really fought for it to be country, right? Because I was like, no, this is cool music. And I wanted other people to like it. So I go, this is country. And I just don't know that it is. I think country has a very distinct sound. And, you know, I think people put country Western music together, but I think country music and Western music are different. And that's why in the movie Blues Brothers, they make a joke out of it where they go, what kind of music do you play here? And she says, both kinds, country and Western. But I do think there is a difference. You know, there is, you know, California country, which is a lot of Western stuff, and Texas music, and then there's you know, Tennessee and you know, bluegrass and that stuff. And so I think that's why it's kind of offensive that country is so open to being, you know, almost anything is country now. It's because, you know, the music has genres so that you can go into it and go, ooh, I like this or I like this. That's why it's like Beyonce winning country album. It's like, I bet Beyonce could do a good country album, but she didn't do a country album. I bet, I don't know, maybe Post Malone could do a good country album. Maybe, but his voice, there's nothing about his voice that sounds country to me. And, you know, I'm all about keeping music in its genre so that we can hang on to it, right? Have that way we have blues, we have jazz, we have rap, we have, you know, pop, we have country, we have bluegrass. That way we can have it all. There's like no rock music. And whenever I say these things, I go, there's no rock, there's no country. People always say, well, there is, you just got to find it. And that's what I'm saying, though. Why do we have to find it? Why can we not get played on the radio what we want played on the radio? You know, and it's because a few corporations own everything and they're all tied into the record labels and they just, you know, or, you know, for lack of a better term, doing a circle jerk with each other. And we need, you know, more independent stations, but it feels like they own the airtime. And we don't have no good rock music. What's the Metallica of our time? And maybe there never will be another Metallica, but Metallica, have you listened to them lately? That music is still a jam. But where's it at? Where's it at now? I don't know where it is. It's gone. Metallica's gone. And will there ever be a replacement? What was that band? Gold on the Ceiling. I'm gonna get my gold on the ceiling. What was that band? I don't know, but they had two albums before the Gold on the Ceiling album that were unbelievable. And then they went mainstream, and I don't even heard of them anymore. I don't even hear them anymore. I'm happy that they got some money, but you never hear from them again. Kings of Leon had two incredible albums. Their first two albums blew me away. I bought them both at the same time. I had not heard of Kings of Leon. I bought them both at the same time, and I rode around listening to them nonstop, and it was so great. And then they got super famous. They had Sex on Fire or whatever, which is a good song, but now what are they doing? We don't even hear from them anymore. It's all focused on the lead singer's voice, and there's no more band in it. The Killers, remember them? First two albums by The Killers? Man, I used to ride around listening to that all the time. Love The Killers. Where are they at now? I don't know. Who's the next band to be The Killers? Who's the next Kings of Leon? Will we even get them? Because everything's all watered down and just garbage. And then we get this song by Chris Stapleton and Morgan Wallen, that it's like, it's a nothing song. How is the most popular guy in country music, Morgan Wallen, and the most talented mainstream country music artist, Chris Stapleton, not put out a song that's just an absolute banger? How's that happen? Because it doesn't have to be. Because I know people, they say to me about Morgan Wallen, they go, hey, I'm not the biggest Morgan Wallen fan, but he's the best of that kind of music. What kind of music is that? I was in a restaurant in Mount Juliet. What is it? Bubba Coo's Burritos? I don't know if you've been there. It's a good place. It's like a better Moe's and I think a better Chipotle. If you live in the area or if you have a Bubba Coo's around you, I say go for it. It's very good. They have great food. And I was in a Bubba Coo's, and Bob Marley played. I was like, oh, yeah. And then another great song played. And then a Morgan Wallen song came on. And it was just like, it doesn't fit in here at all. It doesn't fit in with this great music. But he's probably sold more albums than these other. Probably more downloads. Probably selling more tickets. Even Hannah, who's not a country fan, and we don't like a lot of the same music. She heard it and she goes, is this Morgan Wallen? I go, yeah. She goes, his voice is so bad. And I don't mean to just rail on this guy because it's not really about him. It's that people like him and I don't understand it. Right? There are probably people saying that about me. That's fine. I mean, I'm complaining that I do this, you know, the biggest podcast in the world, and I don't seem to gain any extra traction from it. And then I'm railing on the most popular musician of our time. But it's just not good. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put out good things. I just want my comedy to be good. I want the things that I put out to be good. I want this podcast to be good. You know, this podcast is I think that I am doing something that not a lot of podcasts are doing these days, which is just one person sitting in a room talking into a microphone for an hour. I did break this up into two. I wish that I didn't have to do it, but I had to stop and take a call. But I'm just trying to, you know, do different things, but not reinvent the wheel. And I want to put out good stuff. I want to do good comedy. I did an hour and a half in Auburn. It was the longest set that I've ever done. An hour and a half on stage. It was an hour and 31 minutes. And that feels good. I mean, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to do long shows. That's what I want to do. I'm going to try to record a half hour special, I think. I got some old jokes that I kind of want to dump, that I wouldn't want to put on another special, and I want them to be on an album. So, and I'd like 5 o'clock somewhere, my joke at 5 o'clock somewhere, to be on an album, but I don't know that I want the recording that I put on YouTube, because I got a couple of things I want to add to it, because I got criticized a lot for my joke about, it's only 12:30, but I don't care, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, and they go, but that's not true. I got criticized a lot for that, because there are half hour time zones. So I want to clear that up in the joke. And I got a time zone joke that I want to add in there. So I want to do that full joke. And I'd like that to be on an album, because it's not. And I got a couple other jokes. I got some bathroom humor jokes that I think are good and funny, but I don't really want to do them anymore. I got a few jokes that are a little dirtier that maybe I want to dump on there. That wasn't meant to be another bathroom humor joke, but I'd like to, you know, get a lot of those out there so that people could listen to it on Spotify. And then, you know, in probably 5 months, Wet Heat will be available as an album to listen to, if I can get it together that fast. But if you've not seen Wet Heat, go see it. It's on Netflix. And come see me this weekend, Binghamton, New York, and Buffalo, New York. Next week, Reading, PA, and Wilkes-Barre, PA. And that's it. That's going to wrap it up for today. I appreciate you guys. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. We're having a good time. ¶¶